Like the part of that song that says, something got a hold to me. Amen. I decided to sit there stiff as a board, but something got a hold to my feet. Walked me down the aisle. Amen. And I don't know, I guess everybody's got a story of how they got saved. But I tell you, tonight the Lord saved me, man. I was a-fighting, trying to hang on to the pew, didn't want to go. I felt like I was going to die. I was going to die if I didn't go. I felt like I was going to die if I did go. Amen. I don't know. That's just the way conviction got a hold to me. Amen. It made me miserable. And when I was fighting that conviction for several weeks there, they were fasting and praying. And I had some loved ones and family that was calling upon my name in prayer, asking God to save me. And man, I mean, that old-time conviction got a hold to me. And, you know, I felt like that whatever it was had a hold to me was trying to kill me. Amen. I mean, I couldn't hardly sleep at night, man. Cried myself to sleep many a nights. And, I mean, I was just miserable, man. I was cranky. I was aggravated, arrogant. I mean, couldn't get along with me. I mean, my world was turned upside down. Amen. I mean, God had a hold to me and was shaking me. Amen. Kind of like that prison house that Paul and Silas was in. God had a hold to me and was shaking me good. And I felt like that there was an enemy on my trail, but now looking back, I realized that was a friend of mine. I realized that convicting power of the Holy Ghost was really trying to help me. Amen? And that's the best thing that ever happened to me is when I fell under conviction and the Spirit said, come. And that Sunday night I got up and made my way to the altar. Amen. I experienced that old time salvation. Praise God. I don't know exactly how it happened. I can't really explain it all. The only thing I can tell you is I went down a rank sinner and I came up a king's kid. Amen. I went down under the load of burdens of sin and sorrow and I came up and I just felt as light as a feather. Amen. I don't know how to explain it, but I can tell you this. It is a supernatural work. Amen. It is a supernatural work that only comes through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And it is real. Amen. Aren't you glad to be saved tonight? Know your name's been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Man, I tell you, I feasted off of the service last night today, and God's been good to us and had a good day. And I tell you, man, Sister Judy, she fixed one more meal for us this afternoon. And a marvelous job. We've certainly enjoyed it. And they have been, Brother Bill and Sister Judy have been overly kind to us. They've been very hospitable and just give us a very warm welcome. And so have you guys, and we really appreciate that. Amen. I tell you, you know, you can be saved and wear a smile. Amen. You can be saved and be happy. Praise God. Amen. I'm glad I didn't get the kind that some got. Amen. But the joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen. I know that you can't smile all the way, and there's problems that we all face. And I tell you, you live long enough, and there's some trials you can experience in this life that'll knock a smile off your face. Amen. But I tell you, after a while, I believe you can smile again. Praise God. Amen. Because God has given us reason to rejoice in that our names have been recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. Praise God. So we've had a good day today. The Lord helped us, and we're one day closer to that eternal reward that we're going to receive. Amen. Praise God. But I in studying today, I don't know, I just felt like, you know, as an evangelist, a lot of times you like to go in different directions. You don't want to really kind of get hung up in a rut, and you don't want to kind of keep your guns pointed in the same direction. But through the course of the day, trying to follow the leading of the Lord and praying, I just felt like coming back in somewhat of the same direction again here tonight. Amen. And it's all right to obey the Lord, isn't it? Amen. Praise God. Amen. I read where it's better to obey God than men. Amen. And here we are tonight looking back at the great work of God and salvation. I want you to open your Bibles with me to the book of Joshua tonight in the Old Testament. Probably if you've been around church very much, I'm sure that you've heard a lot of preaching on this topic here tonight. And I'm not here really to try to invent or generate or dig out something new and strange. But I believe just the very express, simple, written Word of God is powerful and is able to save unto the utmost. Amen. I believe that it is the written voice of God that is speaking to us when we read the pages of this divine book. Amen. Joshua chapter 2 tonight. Those of you that were not here last night, we looked at Hosea and Gomer there, and we preached about the door that is in the valley of Achor. Amen. And I'm glad that there's a way out when we get in that valley of Achor and it seems hopeless. I'm glad that God is a way maker. He's a door opener, for He said, "I am the door." Amen. So I'm glad to know that God can save right where He wants to and how He wants to. Amen. Amen. Glad we haven't got to be in a confession booth. I'm glad that the big-time evangelist hasn't got to be present, but I'm glad that God can save on the roadside, in the backyard, amen, in the park. It don't matter where He's at, but if men will humble themselves and repent of their sin, amen, God will save wherever and whoever. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. We appreciate you for being here tonight. May the Lord bless you. And trust that God's going to help you and strengthen you in the service tonight. Amen. Joshua chapter 2. I want to be selective with my reading here tonight. And keep your Bibles open, as I said again last night. Please keep your Bibles open, because I'm going to be referring to these scriptures probably throughout the course of this message tonight. Maybe Sister Judy, y'all might be ready to sing tonight. I'm not sure exactly who I'm going to call for tonight. Maybe you and your kids be ready to sing tonight, and however I feel the Lord lead me. Amen. Do you love the Lord tonight? Amen. Joshua chapter 2, I want to begin reading with verse 8. If you found that place, you might want to stand for the reading of God's Word. Joshua chapter 2 and verse 8. And it reads like this: "And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, and neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in the earth beneath. Now, therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have shewed or shown you kindness, that you will also shew or show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token." Verse 18, "Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee." Amen. Let's pray one more time tonight. Father, we ask you, God, that you would take your word, bring it to life. Anoint me, Lord, to speak the words that you'd have me to speak. God, take me beyond my abilities, God. Anoint my mind. May I be a tool in your hand, an instrument in the hand of the Holy Ghost. Oh God, guard every word I say, Lord. May conviction, may the convicting power of the Holy Ghost, of the third person of the Godhead, settle in this place tonight, Lord, wooing and drawing to an altar of repentance before it is eternally and everlasting too late. God, use this service to thy glory and to the upbuilding of thy kingdom, Lord. Bring every thought into captivity tonight, Lord. Take total charge of this service. Lord, as we leave, Lord, may we be glad that we were in your house. Lord, saying that you did everything and accomplished all. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. You might be seated tonight. Praise God. Amen. I just love reading God's Word. Amen. Amen. I tell you, when I read this story, I was reading not long ago here, and And the Lord really, I don't know, just got to dealing with me about this thought here. And I've heard a lot of preaching on Rahab the harlot, and I'm sure you have too. But I'm going to churn my own butter tonight. Amen. I'm gonna see if the Lord can help us tonight. Amen. Don't you believe that God's wanting to save somebody even in this service tonight? Hey, amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to preach tonight. I want to title this. Maybe you've heard this title before. Amen. But it's kind of a common cliche among our generation. A lot of times we hear people talking about being saved by thread. And a lot of times refer to that as barely escaping by the chinny chin chin, so to speak, or just barely escaping. I'd like to consider and just title this message tonight, Saved by a Thread. Amen. Glory to God. Saved by a thread. Amen. I don't know. I'm thankful for those that have been saved for many, many years. But I tell you, I believe that if you're planning on getting saved and getting on the ark of God's safety, I believe if you get saved even tonight, I believe you're going to be saved by a thread. Amen. Because this thing here is about over with. Glory to God. I mean, I'm telling you, we fixing to check out of here and go to God's heaven. Amen. If you're going to get saved, you better make a run for it. You better dash for the door of God's mercy. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Saved by a thread. Now, I know that a lot of times, everybody has a story. I said earlier about how they got saved, but I like this story about Rahab the harlot. Amen. I like to read how she got saved. Praise God. Amen. A lot of times we like to look into God's Word and we look at the heroes of faith and the Abrahams and the Isaacs and Jacobs and the Apostle Paul and the Ruths and the great heroes of the Bible. A lot of times we overlook those seemingly not so famous characters, the ones that seemingly just aren't polished and as bright. I mean, they're just kind of a bland. Some of them even have reputations that are somewhat seemingly disgraceful in the Word of God. But all Scripture is profitable, given by divine inspiration, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction and instruction, and to all righteousness. And I believe that every word is divinely orchestrated and inspired to be there. And if it's in that book, it's a story or it's a character that we can learn from and have direction from in our lives. And I want to focus in here tonight on the life and the story of Rahab's salvation, how Rahab was saved by a thread. Glory to God. Amen. Now, in this story here, I started reading in verse 8. Basically, what is transpiring here is there is a generation now. Moses is going to receive his reward. Joshua now, the captain of the children of Israel. And there's been a long wandering in the wilderness. There's been a time that God purged out the unbelief of those that chose to believe not the promises of God. And now God has raised him up a generation that believed the Lord and trust in him. And they're standing at the banks of the Jordan River ready for the signal of God to go over and possess the promised land. And Joshua sends out two spies to go spy out the city of Jericho there. And I know there's some people that feel like that maybe Joshua should not have sent those two spies, and they find accusation against the actions there of Joshua. But God knows what he's doing. Amen. And God knew that if those two spies never entered the city of Jericho, then Rahab the harlot would not have been saved. Amen. And so I believe God's willing to take out a little time to send those two spies. If he was willing to go by the well at Samaria, and he was willing to take out a precious time just for that one woman down there that needed salvation, surely he'd let Joshua send two spies down there for the salvation of Rahab the harlot in that wicked city of Jericho. Amen. Glory to God. So here we find these two spies. that are entering into the city of Jericho. They find their way into that city. We don't have a lot of information about what caused them to meet Rahab, how they met Rahab, but we do know this, that God is working behind the scenes. We know that when God orders something, He knows how to pay for it. Amen. We know that when God gives us on, or sends us on a divine mission, He's already working on the other end. Praise God. We already know how it happened, but they wound up where God wanted them to be. Amen. Throughout the course of this story, we'll find out why. Because there's a little woman who's got a house on the wall, and she's been concerned about her soul. I believe she'd been praying, and God heard her prayer. And I'm glad to know that that good shepherd, he knows how to go out into the dark night and find that lost sheep and bring him back into the fold. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to tonight consider some steps that Rahab the harlot went through in order to be saved. You know, we live in a day that seems like salvation. You can almost put a quarter in a bubblegum machine and get saved. It's almost like salvation is just kind of a credit card that we add to the wallet. But you know, salvation is a lot more than that. Someone said it last night. If someone said it tonight, I believe Brother Pete said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. It's more than just a simple repeat after me, but it is a supernatural work that is done by the Spirit of the living God. It is a supernatural work that is done by the blood of Christ, and it is a deep work. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, salvation is not cheap. Amen. It costs heaven a premium price. It is free. Amen. But I tell you, it'll cost you something to keep it. Praise God. There's a cross that we have to pick up and bear. Amen. And we must overcome if we're planning on going into God's heaven. And here is the story of Rahab. These two spies enter into her house. Notice this. Started reading in verse 8, and they entered her house. They had gone up upon the roof of the house there, and verse 8 says, and before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto them, to the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land. Praise God. I've kind of got that thing highlighted in my Bible there. She said, I know. There's not a shadow of doubt in my mind. I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. I want you to listen to this. This is a testimony. I mean, this is a woman who was born in that infidel, in that Canaanite city, who's God haters. But man, what a testimony here. Verse 10, we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. I mean, this woman here, I mean, she could have easily said, well, I'll talk with these two spies in the morning. I'll let them go on to bed and get a good night's rest. But there's something that's got this ex-harlot stirred up, this Rahab. She can't go to bed that night. She goes back up to the rooftop where they was at. Says, look here, I know you've had a long journey, but I got to talk with you about something. I'm troubled in my spirit. I know that the God you serve, He's given this land. We're good as dead. I know we're in the path of an almighty God. And I know you've been destroying the cities of the Amorites, Sihon and Og. But I don't want to die. I want to live. Is there any chance that I can escape the wrath of God that's coming? Glory to God. First thing that happened to Rahab, she was concerned about her future. Fear got a hold to Rahab. We're living in a day today when it seems like nobody has fears all over the bumpers of our vehicles. No fear. no fear. But I tell you, honey, you better fear this. Jesus said that, don't fear men that's able to kill this body here, but you better fear God that's able to destroy both body and soul in a lake of fire. I tell you right now, if we could pull the lid off of hell, there'd be a multiplied million by millions screaming, "Don't you come to this place." And that's what Rahab did. She got a hold to the fear of God. And she said, "I don't want to die in this wicked city." Amen. And there's a whole generation, seem like we're raising. They'll curse God. They'll shake their fists to the heavens. But all just because that heaven's silent, it don't mean it'll be silent forever. Because there's coming a horseman out of heaven. There's coming one with his vestures dipped in blood, with eyes of fire, and a sword coming out of his mouth. Oh God, help us that we shun that awful day of God's judgment. Amen. Hallelujah. She knows the true king's coming to town. She wants to be ready. I tell you, I had a friend of mine. His father pastored a church. His father passed away suddenly, unexpectedly. And this friend of mine, I knew him. He's actually kin to me in a distance. He went into that church that his father had pioneered. Went into that church and they had some $50,000 in the treasury. He went in that church and because he was the preacher's son, he went in and laid his hands on money that belonged to God. It was probably a couple of months after that, he'd going through a drive-thru. Never made it through that church's fried chicken window. He died sitting in his car before he ever got that order at that pickup window. I'm telling you right now, God is an awesome God, and He's greatly to be feared. And I know we've mellowed down God to where He's a granddad and like a Santa Claus, and He's our buddy old pal, and we bebop into His presence, and He's the old man upstairs. But you let me tell you this. Isaiah saw Him, and he said, "Holy, holy, holy." Those seraphims and those angels were crying. He's a holy God, and He's a God of wrath. He's a God of judgment, and you better prepare to meet this awesome God. He's coming to town, whether we want Him to or not. God's coming to town. Amen. I heard Brother Painter, they said, Brother Painter was teaching on the Holy Ghost, and two bikers walked in the back door, stood in that vestibule area, and he was preaching on the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Ghost, and those men stood there and listened for just a little while. Directly one of those bikers, dressed in leather, all leathered out with the chains, stepped into the sanctuary and said, "Who in the blank is the Holy Ghost?" and cursed the Holy Ghost. He said, right in a split second, it was like somebody shot him with a 30-06. Said he hit the floor. When they got to him, blood coming out of his ears and his nose. He found out who the Holy Ghost was. I'm telling you, we're not here tonight to see who's dressed the prettiest. We're not here tonight to see who can play that piano the best. We're here tonight trying to shun a place called hell. I want to be saved by thread. I want to be saved from the awful judgment to come. Hallelujah. Praise God. Lord of God. Notice in verse 10, something I feel like the Lord spoke into my spirit. She says, "For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you." Notice in verse 11, as soon as we had heard these things, our, you see my emphasis here is on the plural. Our hearts didn't melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. That whole city of Jericho heard about how God rolled the waters of the Red Sea back. That whole city heard about how those Israelites drank water from a rock. They heard about how God rained manna down in that wilderness. How the shoes didn't wear out on their feet. They heard how the quails flew into the camp one day when God commanded them to do so. They heard about the kings of the Amorites, or Og, Sihon and Og, the Bible said, whom the Lord utterly destroyed. They heard about all of this. It wasn't just Rahab. That entire city heard that God was coming to town. But only Rahab took action. Only Rahab was concerned about her future. My God, I see that today in which we live. I'm telling you, man, you can hear every time you turn the radio on, every time you hear news, every time you hear a preacher, you can see the signs of the time. I'm here to tell you, man, that fig tree's done put forth the fig leaves in 1948. Israel was born again. Isaiah said in chapter 66, he said, a strange thing. A nation is born in a day. Yes, it was. That's Truman signed the declaration. Israel became a nation again. But that isn't the only thing Jeremiah said. God's going to draw them from the four corners of the earth after he has scattered them. Did you know that in 2006, for the first time in over 2,000 years, there was more Jews recorded in the colony of Jerusalem than anywhere else in the world? God's pulling them. I tell you, man, the tables are turning. God's coming to town. You better get ready if you are ready to meet God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Notice this. I like this. Hebrews 11 and 31 said, by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not. I've got that thing in parentheses there. It says, by faith, Rahab the harlot perished not. And then in another set of parentheses, I got, with them that believed not. Two categories of people. The people that did not believe and the people that did believe. The ones that did not believe, Rahab didn't want any part of that. She's standing there. She don't understand about the graces of God. She don't understand about the lamb sacrifice. She don't understand about the Levitical law. She don't understand. But all she knows is she knows the horse's hooves are coming. And she don't want to die. She wants to be saved. And she's looking at those two spies. And she's saying, tell me, how can I make it out of here alive? I want to be saved. Praise God. By faith, Rahab the harlot perished not with them that believed not. She never saw the waters of that Red Sea roll back. She never saw manna come raining down. She never saw the quail. She never saw the water run out of the rock. But she believed. She believed. Glory to God. Now I'm here to tell you, I've never seen a Savior. I didn't see him that day he was nailed to that cross. I didn't see him as he cried, it is finished. I didn't see him stick a spear in his side. But I believe that when he died for me. And I accepted that work. And God saved me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. I want you to look here. Something else I want to show you. I got to hurry here tonight. Praise God. I want you to look with me in the latter part of verse 1. The latter part of verse 1 said, and they came, they went and they came to an house. They came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. Now, without doubt, Rahab was a harlot. I say she was a harlot. But I don't believe she was a harlot when these two spies came into her house. I think she'd had a change of heart. You say, well, she's called the harlot here. Well, I know Simon the leper in the New Testament, even after that Christ had cleansed him of his leprosy, he was always known as Simon the leper because it was a way of identifying who he was. And Rahab the harlot here, this is my commentary, and you hadn't got to get all bent out of shape with me because I want to look at something that I believe gives us a slight indication of what is taking place here. Now look with me in verse 6. It says, but she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax which he had laid in order upon the roof. I believe that Rahab, in the midst of her great concern of her future, in the midst of her fearing an awesome God, I believe that there was something resounding inside of her that let her know the lifestyle that she was living, the occupation that she was using to make money was not an acceptable practice. And notice here in Proverbs 31 and 13 says, a virtuous woman seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. Now, the Bible said that she carried them up on the roof and hid them with the stalks of flax which she had laid in order upon the roof. I believe Rahab, this is my opinion, had hung an out-of-business sign on her door. And I believe she had started raising flax and working in the fields with her hands because she was trying to get her house in order to the best of her ability. Now, I know that salvation does not come by works. I well understand that. But you hear me, you show me somebody that's getting serious about their eternal destiny, and it'll start changing the way they live. Oh, yeah. I mean, the deacon in our church, before he ever got saved, conviction got on him and got to stirring him up so bad. He told his buddy one night, he threw that beer bottle out the window, and he said, I'll never drink again. Before he ever got saved, now he was still lost. You got to understand, when he quit drinking, he could have died, and he'd have went to hell with out the blood. But I'm telling you, when God gets to stirring you up, it'll start changing the way you live. Hallelujah to God. Glory to God. Man, I tell you, Brother Frierson, before he ever got saved, he got my dad, and he couldn't drive it. He got my dad to take him from house to house, man. He'd go from farmer to farmer, man. Dad said he'd see Brother Frierson, man. He's still a sinner, man. I said he's trying to get things ready. He told my dad, he said, I want to get saved. He said, but there's some things I got to take care of first. Dad said he'd seen him kneel down on the front porch in front of those men and say, sir, I burst your barn down. I'm sorry. Whatever it costs, I'll pay you back. He'd go to this one and say, man, I sold you cow. I mean, man, I tell you, people used to make restitutions. I tell you, we live in a day where people won't hardly take another man's wife back. Oh, God, help us to realize when you get right, it'll cause you to change the way you live. Hallelujah. Woo! Praise God. I believe if you were stealing a man's chickens, you ought to take them back. That's all right. Praise God. Amen. I'm telling you, I preached a revival in Harker's Island. Men told me, he said, God got a hold to me. I had a field full of tobacco. He said it was about ready to harvest. He said God got to dealing with me so heavy. He said, man, I fired that old tractor up one day. I plowed every bit of it into the ground. He said, people told me, you crazy. He said, but man, God didn't let us miss a meal. I'm telling you, if you will change your ways, God will take care of you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Woo! Rahab's concerned about where she's going to spend eternity. How about you? Are you concerned about where you're going to spend eternity? Notice here, even after Rahab had done all that she could do, she's standing there, verse 12, looking at those two spies. She says this, now therefore I pray you swear unto me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token. Woo! I got to have something. I got to have a true token here. I got to know that I'm going to be saved. I need something. I'm glad that there's a no-so salvation. Amen. Jen, I want one of you to come to the piano tonight. Maybe Sister. All right, Sister Jen, come right onto the piano. Y'all can sing maybe in just a little while. Praise God. I'm getting ready to close here. She said, I got to have a true token. I got to know. I mean, I got to know that I'm going to be saved. Verse 18 says this, behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by. Take that thread, Rahab, and hang it in the window of your house. And that to you will be that true token. That's the only thing that Rahab knew. That's the only thing she had, was simply a red thread to hang in the window. But let me tell you this, honey. It was enough. I mean, when God told Moses, said, I'm going to pass over Egypt tonight. And when I do, he said, that death angel, he said, you better have the blood over the doorpost. That lamb that they slain for each family there was no better than any other blood, but it was symbolic of the blood that would be shed on an old rugged cross, all the way down the annals of time. And here, Rahab, she don't have anything else. She don't have a high priest that she can go to. But those spies said, man, hang this red thread in the window. Hallelujah. That'll be a true token to you. In other words, when we see that red thread, we're going to spare you, praise God. And those spies, notice here, they said, when we come into the land. Do you see that in verse 18? They said, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread. It's way over in chapter 6 before they come into the land. But I want you to notice here in the latter part of verse 21, or look at 21, what happens. And she said, according unto thy words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet line in the window. Those spies said, why don't you just wait till you see the cloud of dust, till you hear the thundering of the horses' hooves coming across that Jordan plain, and then hang that thread in the window. But the Bible said as soon as those two spies had left, Rahab went over and hung that thread in the window. Why wait till tomorrow? For today is the day of salvation. Hallelujah. I believe every day that Rahab woke up, I mean, there might have been dust on the furniture. There might have been things that needed doing around the house. But I believe the first thing that she checked every morning, she made sure that red thread was hanging in the window. Why? Because that's her only ticket out of there. That's her only way that she's going to be saved. I mean, that's what those spies said. I mean, your life hinges on whether that thread hangs in the window. There might have been company come over and said, man, what's that doing up there? It don't match anything. It's ugly, but that's all right. That was her ticket out of here. I know this wife says, man, what do you go to church for all the time? What do you do praying? Why do you claim the blood? It's our only ticket out of here. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. Chapter 6, Joshua and those children of Israel begin marching around the walls of Jericho. Maybe those two spies say, Joshua, down on the far end, down on the south end of the wall, do you see that little red thread hanging up in the window? That's the house of Rahab. Probably the word spread, man. When God gives us the city, now nobody hurt anybody that's in the house with the red thread in the window. That's the one that helped us. And that's her ticket to salvation. Amen. Hallelujah. Man, on that last and final day, when Joshua gave the signal and said, man, I want you to blow them trumpets. And I want you to shout. I mean, God's earthquake angel got a hold to the foundation of that mighty city. Begin to shake her down. I mean, they thought that those walls were invincible, but God started shaking them apart. And we always heard the story how the walls fell flat, but not all of that city fell. There was a section of that wall, for Rahab's house was on the wall of the city. There was a section that did not fall. You know what that tells me? There was more than Joshua and those men that saw that red thread. That lets me know that God, way in the yonder world, he saw that red thread hanging in that window. You might say, man, how simple is it? just coming to an altar and praying a prayer. Who knows if you got saved? Who knows if the blood's applied? And the simplicity of salvation is a stick in the nostril of this agnostic world. But you hear me, on resurrection morning, when the trump of God sound, He knows His own, and He's going to call your number, and we're going to leave out of here with a shout, glory to God. Woo! Hallelujah. Holy God. Rahab, as the walls are shaking, probably her mom and dad and loved ones, they're fretting. I mean, as they hear the war cry and the shout and the scream of those dying. I mean, that earthquake and God shaking those walls down. The debris, the fire, the destruction. But they're safe in the hollow of God's hand because of that red thread. When all the destruction's over with, there came a knock on the door. It was those spies that come to get Rahab and that family. Leads them out of that house. Leads them out of that city, wading through the rubble, wading through the wounded and the dying. And out of that city she goes, simply because she was concerned about her future. She looks back. No doubt up at the wall of that city, that section of that wall that's still standing in there, waving up there in that window, that red thread. Maybe there was a thought that run through her heart. I really wondered if it was going to work. I really wondered if the red thread was enough. But now she knows that red thread was enough. I'm telling you right now, the blood of Jesus Christ, that red thread symbolized. I know this world said He wasn't nothing but a Jew on a stick. But that was the precious Son of God. That was royal blood that trickled down on Emmanuel's side. I'm glad for the blood, because it cleanses us from all sin. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. Praise God. I'm thankful for the blood. Abel offered that one lamb for one man there. And the river of salvation began back in the book of Genesis. And then, I don't know, several hundred years later in that Egyptian bondage, God said, I want you to slay one lamb for every family. And the river of salvation got a little wider. Went from one man for one lamb for one family. And then some thousand years later in the kingdom David age, that priest would go into the holies of holies once a year. And one lamb was offered not for one man. One lamb was offered not for one family, but one lamb was offered for the entire nation as the river of salvation got a little wider. Do you see where the river's headed? And then 2,000 years ago on an old rugged cross, the river of salvation burst her banks. And it ran to the four corners of this earth. Every man, woman, boy, and girl. It became cosmopolitan. I mean, every man in Asia, Africa, and Europe. It wasn't one lamb for one man, or one lamb for one family, or one lamb for one nation. But everywhere that men would call upon the name of the Lord, whosoever will shall be saved. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now Rahab, an ex-harlot, being led out of that city, redeemed. She's been preserved. She's been saved. Hey, Rahab, you found out that God is a merciful God. Best I can tell by history, the best I can tell by the Bible, Rahab married one of those spies named Salmon. They had a son. His name was Boaz. Boaz had a son named Obed. Obed had a son named Jesse. Jesse had a son named David, through which the loins of Christ came. Glory to God. I said, an ex-Rahab. All she wanted to do, she was dying in a pagan city, and she said, I don't want to perish down here with all these wicked people. Is there any hope? And God put her in the very lineage of Christ. You hear me? If you call on the name of the Lord tonight, He'll hang that red thread of His blood in your heart, and you can make heaven your home. Hallelujah. Praise God. Saved by thread. Back home, we had a gentleman that went to church not far from us, a little town called Lake City. He had a fine family. Those two daughters of his had reached their teenage years and they'd got a little rebellious on God. They'd wandered away, began to dabble around in sin, and they lost the victory. They lost their walk with Christ. They had a revival going on between Lake City and Johnsonville out in kind of a little rural setting there. And those two girls in their teenage years went with their mom and dad to that revival. Man, the Holy Ghost fell in that place that night. I mean, the true Holy Ghost fell in that place. Camp meeting. Spirit of God got to calling, and you know how that conviction does, and a real move of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Those two old girls, or teenage girls, they waded out of that seat. They came down to the altar, and them girls began to pray and seek God, man. I mean, it was a while later, but them girls come up on their feet. I mean, they'd wept their way through back through to salvation. They'd come up on their feet, Brother Preston. I mean, with victory, and I mean, shouting and dancing in the presence of God. And on the way home that night, I don't really know what happened. Don't know why his attention was diverted, but he pulled out across those tracks. There's an Amtrak that runs through Lake City. He pulled out right ahead of that train. It scattered that family, killed everyone but him. I went to the funeral with my mother, and it was one of those daughters laying over here in a casket on this side of the church. There was another one of those teenage daughters laying over here on the other side of the church. His wife was laying in a casket in the middle of that church, holding their little infant baby in her arms. Everyone killed but him. And you know, that's probably one of the saddest funerals. I mean, when I looked over in that casket at that precious mom holding that little babe, I don't know, it's like somebody just pulled my heart out. I mean, I don't believe there was a dry eye in that building. But you know what? Somewhere in the midst of all that grief and all of that sorrow, it was a little flicker of joy down in my heart. Because I knew that those teenage girls had been saved by a thread. I mean, just an hour or so before the death angel came, they got things fixed with God. That's what happened to Rahab. I mean, right on the eve of the judgment of God's destruction, Rahab, she hung the red thread in the window, and you don't know, but God might be fixing to sound the trumpet. You better run for mercy. You better cry for help and let God save you in this place tonight. Every head bowed in this building, every head bowed. It could be the pages of history could read that you were saved tonight. And saved by a thread. How about it, sinner friend? Why don't you slip up from where you're at if you don't know Jesus? Why don't you make your way to this altar tonight? Why don't you come and ask a loving Savior to forgive you of your sins and to accept you into His family? You don't have to die and go to hell. God loves you. God gave His life for you. And He's standing here with open arms. He's standing here with nail-scarred hands saying, whosoever will come and be saved. Would you come right now? Would you come? Don't wait another moment. God loves you. I love you. These people love you. Why don't you slip up from where you're at while God's tugging at your heart? God knows I've delivered my heart tonight. But God's not done with this service. He wants to save. If you would, come. Give your heart to Jesus. How about it? I mean, if there's a thread of doubt, I mean, if there's the least bit of doubt, God can take that doubt away and give you a consolation to know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you're saved. How about it? Is there one you'd respond tonight? I'm not going to linger now. Christians are fixing to come pray. One last call. Would you come? Would you come if you're not saved? Would you come if you're not saved? Wouldn't you like to be saved by a thread tonight? Glory to God. All right, church folks, without further hesitation, let's come and make our way to this altar tonight. I tell you, church, we've got reason to rejoice. I mean, Rahab had confidence in the thread. I'm telling us tonight, Satan will make us doubt, but I've got confidence in the blood of Jesus tonight. I really believe that it is sufficient. I believe it is good enough to get us out of this sin-filled world. Let's come tonight and let's pray and let's worship Him.